are back. You got the right Bible. We're on page 74.
Thinking back up.
Where Bunyan introduced us week before last to the two new characters, obstinate and pliable. And they are introduced to us. And I will begin reading in the paragraph that says, "The man therefore read it, and looking upon Evangelist, very carefully said, 'Whither must I fly?' Then said Evangelist, pointing his finger over the wide field, 'Do you see yonder gate?' And he, of course, did not see the gate. He asked him if he saw the light. He said he thought he did. And then he says, 'Then walk toward the light.' And when he started walking toward the light, the neighbors, the next paragraph tells us that the neighbors came out to see him. Some of them mocked, some of them threatened, and some cried after him to return. But then there were these two fellows that ran after him. Two fellows specifically are mentioned who were resolved, Bunyan says, to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate. And the name of the other was Pliable. Now, by this time, the man was got a good distance from them. But, however, they were resolved to pursue him, which they did. In a little time, they overtook him. And then said the man, "Neighbors, wherefore are you come?" And they said, "To persuade you to go back with us." And he said, "That can by no means be." And remember, we talked about the effectual call of God. When the sinner is wrought upon, there is no possibility that he's going to be changed. He's going to paradise, and thus he's going to flee the city of destruction. "So what," said Obstinate, "what, and leave our friends and our comforts behind?" "Yes," said Christian, and by the way, this is the first time he's called Christian, "because that all which you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with a little of that which I'm seeking to enjoy." And then the conversation ensues between Obstinate, Pliable, Christian. Obstinate says, "What are the things you seek, since you leave all the world to find them?" Christian said, "I seek an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away." "Tush," says Obstinate, "away with your book." The Christian said, "Read it so, if you will, in my book." You remember, he stuck the book and he said, "Here, read it in my book." And he says, "Away with your book. Will you go back with us or no?" "No, not I," said the other, "because I've laid my hand to the plow." And Obstinate says, "Come then, neighbor Pliable. Let's turn again and go home without him. There's a company of these crazy-headed coxcombs who, when they take a fancy by the end, are wiser in their own eyes than seven men that can render a reason." And then said Pliable. Pliable says, "Now, don't revile. If what the good Christian says is true, the things he looks after are better than ours. My heart inclines to go with my neighbor." Just that easy. Just that easy. Obstinate says, "What? More fools still? Be ruled by me and go back. Who knows whether such a brain sick fellow will lead you? Go back, and be wise." Christian says, "Nay, but thou come with thy neighbor Pliable. There are such things to be had which I've spoke of, and many more glories besides. If you believe not me, read it here in this book." Keeps taking him back to the book, doesn't he? He says the truth's in the book. Said Pliable, "I begin to come to a point. I intend to go with this good man, cast in my lot with him. But my good opinion, do you know the way is to this desired place? My good companion, do you know the way to this desired place?" And he said, "I'm directed by a man whose name is Evangelist." Now, having read that, we're introduced to the two characters, Pliable and Obstinate. And I want you to understand, The characters in Bunyan's writings can represent specific people. I mean, you have known people who are obstinate. I'm sure. And you have known people who are pliable. I'm sure. But it's also characteristics within our own heart. Each of us have a measure of Mr. Obstinate in us. And each of us have a measure of Mr. Pliable in us. So it's not just people, it's characteristics within our own hearts. But I like something that White said about Bunyan's writings. He said that, well, find the page here. Yes. He said, as if the text itself is not graphic enough, Bunyan, by his pathetic style, overflows the text and enriches the very margins of the page. What a tremendous description of Bunyan's writings. White said he enriches even the very margins of the page. And how we do find that true, and we will see it this morning. In this section, Bunyan introduces us to two characters, Obstinate and Pliable. These two are introduced together in his story, and by their close proximity, we can more readily mark the stark contrast that is between them and more clearly see the fallacy in them. Now, first there's Obstinate. Dear old Obstinate. And here is a description. Somebody look, Luke, if you'll look up Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9, read for us. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee.
Right. The horse and the mule. What's wrong with them? Well, they have to be guided with, they have to be jerked. They can't respond to a voice. They have to be, take a bridle and a bit in their mouth and maneuver them. Because that's how they have to be controlled. Well, that's a picture of obstinate. Now, White takes some liberty in, and this is one of the things that's wonderful about reading his book. He takes some liberty. He tells us a whole lot of things about Bunyan's characters that aren't in Bunyan, aren't in his writings. But he's using the character to teach us all that Bunyan is trying to show us in his writing. For example, White has a biography of Mr. Obstinate. And here it is. He says little Obstinate was born and brought up in the city of destruction. His father was old Spare the Rod. Now Mrs. Gormley is going to, she is going to amen all of this, because she has seen some of these little guys. Little guy named Obstinate. He was born in the city of destruction. And his father was old Spare the Rod, and his mother's name was Spoil the Child. Little Obstinate was the only child of his parents. And he was born when he was he was born when they were no longer young. They were old, see. Mr. Spare the Rod and Miss Spoil the Child. They were old when this little guy came along. And they doted on their only child and gave him his own way in everything. And everything he asked for, he got. And if he did not immediately get it, it was that time. He gives the reading of his edition, this personal testimony. This is George Offer, who was John Bunyan's biographer, editor, sorry. He said this. Miss Gorman really liked this. He said, after bringing up a very large family, who are a blessing to their parents, I have yet to learn what part of the human body was created to be beaten. At the same time, The rod must mean something in the Word of God. Eli in the Old Testament was not a bad man, but he destroyed both the Ark of the Lord and himself and his sons because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And so, here is obstinate. That's what he was like as a child. And then he goes on to tell us what he was like when he was a little older. In old spare the rod's child, also this is a true proverb was fulfilled, that the child is the father of the man. For all that little obstinate had been in the nursery and in the schoolroom and in the playground, all that and more only aggravated the way that he was as a youth and a grown-up man. Mulish in his obstinacy. The mulish obstinacy kept him so ignorant, so his ignorance in turn increased his obstinance. I bet you teachers have all seen this guy. But then White gives us a good piece of advice, because we all, men especially, have some of this character dwelling within our hearts. And he says that we ought to consider this matter of our convictions. He says all our firm convictions, as we too easily and too fondly call them, must continually be examined and searched out in the light of more reading. And in not a few instances, we shall find that what was hitherto been clothed in that honorable name and character of a conviction was all the time only an ignorant prejudice, a distaste, or a dislike. Many of our firmest convictions we shall be compelled and enabled to confess to be at the bottom mere mulishness and pride of heart. My goodness. That's an indictment, isn't it? I think I've been guilty of that. Well, let me tell you something about Mr. Obstinate. He's a fellow that could be subject to temporary reform. And you know what will change a mulish young man quicker than anything? Falling in love. Woman comes along. Listen to what Mr. White says. Obstinate was in love. When our friend Obstinate was in love, he was as sweet as honey and as soft as butter. His old friends that he used to trample upon scarcely recognized him. They had sometimes seen men converted, but they had never seen such an immediate and such a complete conversion as this. He actually invited correction. Boy that used to never, he'd go out of the house wearing last week's clothes. Now he's kind of saying, what does this look like, Mom? Okay, what do you think about this, Mom? He actually invited correction and advice and assistance, who had often struck at you with his hands and his feet when you even hinted at such a thing to him. The best upbringing, the best books, the best preaching, the best and most obedient life taken all together had not done for other men what a woman's smile and the touch of her hand had done in a moment to Obstinate's heart. The young man changes when he meets a young lady, doesn't he? Y'all wouldn't know anything about that, right? None of you guys ever had that experience. You know, you get interested in things you never thought about, like flowers. Flowers? Never thought about flowers. I'm not sure I ever even noticed one until I noticed myself, and then all of a sudden, I was very interested in flowers. It's amazing how that happens. Heart changes. But listen to this, and I want you to get this that Mr. White tells us about Obstinate. Here's the worst part, guys. Man that's obstinate, you know who he hurts the most? His family. His family. Mr. White said this, but there is this in all genuine and inbred obstinacy that after a time it often comes out worst beside those we love the best. The obstinate man makes his house a prison and a treadmill to himself and to all those that are condemned to suffer with him. Fellas, that's how we are many times when obstinance takes over. And we see obstinate here in Bunyan's writings. No matter what Christian says, and it used to be a joke. You know, I used to tell that joke, which it was not only a joke, it was ridiculous. But he used to say, you know, do you know why they call women the opposite sex? Because I don't care what you say, they'll say the opposite. Well, the truth is, that's really more true of men than it is women. And sometimes we are just obstinate just because we want to be obstinate. We just don't want to be moved. Don't want to be pushed. Well, Bunyan describes this in the person of obstinate because no matter what Christian says to him, he absolutely will have no part of it. He will just have no part of it. Bunyan says, a Christian says to him, look, he's talked to him about this incorruptible inheritance, undefiled, fades not away, laid up with heaven. Look, he says, read it in my book. And what does the obstinate say? Tush! Away with your book! Will you go back with us or not? He's just obstinate. He's just completely obstinate. And it doesn't make any difference what Christian says. And then Pliable chimes in and says, you know, I think I might go with this fellow. I know, I hear what he's saying. And obstinate says, don't be a fool, man! Don't be a fool! Forget that! Come on, go back with me! So, you see, he's just completely and totally obstinate. Now, the opposite of obstinance is having a right conviction that's based on truth. Obstinance is usually a preference. It's being obstinate with just a preference. You know, if it's the Scottish have a saying, when truth's in the balances, obstinance is a virtue. When truth is in the balances, obstinance is a virtue. But we have to be sure that it's truth that's in the balances and not a preference or something that we just personally hold to. So the opposite of obstinance is a right conviction based on truth. But then we have this second character, Mr. Plyde. And he is described in the words of Luke, if you'll look up Matthew 13, 5 and 6. Please, Matthew 13, 5 and 6. Here's a description of Pliable. One phrase, very significant.
Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away.
They had no root. Here is the graphic description of Mr. Pliable. He has no root. That's why he's pliable. He has no root. And White, of course, describes this man. He hath not root in himself, says our Lord, and we need no more than that to be told us to foresee how all his outside religion will end. This poor creature had a certain slight root of something that looked like religion for a short while. But even that slight root was outside of himself. He had no root inside himself. The last paragraph, or that article we did in the paper this week that came out yesterday under the P of the TULIP, preservation, perseverance of the saints. My first statement under that point was that what's significant under the doctrine of perseverance is who it is that perseveres. who it is. The saints. It's perseverance of the saints. Not hypocrites. Not false professors. They will always fall away. There's no perseverance for them. Perseverance is in saints because they have root in themselves. Mr. Pliable has no root. That's why he falls away. And by the way, that's why he's so quickly ready to take up religion. Obstinate's foul tongue has almost persuaded Pliable to be a Christian. Obstinate's foul tongue has almost persuaded Pliable. I mean, you see these people, don't you? That say on the job or whatever, you get some vile Mr. Obstinate just pouring out vileness on a Christian, and this guy who's Pliable, he's standing over there watching this. In a little while, he's just kind of feeling real sympathetic. And he's saying, wow, man, that's hard. I hear what this guy's saying. I think I'll be like him. Well, because he doesn't have any root in him. There's nothing in him except sentimentality. Pure sentimentality. He's a sensitive soul, and he sees Obstinate abusing Christian, and he's sensitive, and he begins to get really sympathetic and says, hey, you know, I think I'll go with this Christian. And of course, Mr. White describes this characteristic of his quite well when he says, the apocalyptic side of some men's imaginations is very easily worked on. No kind of book sells better among those of our people who have no root in themselves than just picture books about heaven. Our missionaries make use of lantern slides to bring home the scenes of the gospel to the dull minds of the village hearers, and with good success. And at home, a magic lantern filled with the splendors of the New Jerusalem would carry multitudes of rootless hearts quite captive for a time. He's describing what we see in our day, isn't he? I mean, we got all these Jesus shows, right? I mean, these videos and all this, that, and the other, so that we can just grab a hold of people's emotions and drag them along because they're pliable. They have no root in them. That's why 2 months after the event, you can't find them. Because they're pliable. They went out now and they've been exposed to some other force, and that force carried them away. Because they had no root in themselves. Such men are often sporadically given to marching to Zion. But it's only temporary and it's very shallow. How often have we ourselves heard these very words of challenge and reproof from the pliable frequenters of emotional meetings and from the emotional members of an emotional but rootless ministry? Why, it kind of gets the point across, doesn't it? Because Pliable's just listening. He's just standing over here listening to Obstinate go at Christian, and he's listening to Christian, and he says, and then he says, here's the words, here's Bunyan's glorious way of describing it. My heart inclines to go with my neighbor. Because he's pliable. He's pliable. He has no root in him. And of course, Obstinate responds, what? More fools still be ruled by me, man, and go back. Obstinate continues in his character, and Pliable continues in his character. He's easily shaped. And those people will always fall away. They will always fall away. Because they have no root in them. But Obstinate goes back. But Pliable goes on forward with Mr. Pilgrim, with the Christian. Well, neighbor, obstinate, says Pliable, I begin to come to a point. I intend to go along with this good man, cast in my lot with him. But my good companion, do you know the way to this desired place? Do you see the problem there? He's already cast in his lot, and he doesn't even know if the man knows where he's going. I mean, but do you know where you're going? Do you know where we're going? He's so pliable. He's just gullible. He just carried on. And then Christian responds and says, well, I'm directed by a man whose name is Evangelist. Speed me to a little gate that's before us and where we shall receive instructions about the way. Bible says, come then, good neighbor. Let us be going. And then they went.